Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Props here on the show today. We're back another week of the Prospects and Props podcast. Chris Schubert, Jamie Eisner here with you on the show. Quarterback's done, running back's done, wide receiver's done. We move on to the big mega show. 47 tight ends in one episode. No, it's not that many, even though it's going to feel like 11. That many. We've got a lot of big name tight ends to discuss here with you all on the show today in the props. Very similarly to what we've done each of the last couple of days here on the podcast. We've got yards props, touchdown props. We're going to talk about them all here. And Jamie, we'll start with probably the biggest name at the position because he's got the quarterback with the highest passing prop in all of football. That being Travis Kelce of the Kansas City Chiefs. 1,150.5 on the yards, 9.5 on the touchdowns. Jamie, 1,150. Let me see. He did it in 2022. He did it in 2020. He did it in 2019. He did it in 2018. He's done this quite a bit in his career with Patrick Mahomes. He's been a 1,000-yard receiver for, let me just do the math here, 1, 2, 3, Never. 4, 5, 6, 7 consecutive seasons. Travis Kelce has been at least a 1,000-yard receiver. So even if maybe he doesn't get it, it's going to be a sweat for you here at the 1,150 because he's always going to be in the mix. I don't see any reason why the best player on this offense, not named Patrick Mahomes, the best pass catcher on this offense isn't in line for another massive season in line with what we saw last year.
Yeah. I mean, look, we've been waiting for him to slow down for a while now, and at some point it's going to happen, but it hasn't happened yet. He is the bona fide, undisputed number one target in a pass-heavy offense that is elite. I have him projected for 1,368 yards and 10 touchdowns. So I'm probably staying away from the touchdown prop here. Really, this is just a bet on whether or not you think he gets hurt or not. There's no doubt about the target share. There's no doubt about the quarterbacks. There's no doubt about his productivity. There's no doubt about his viability. You're really just betting on, does he have another fairly healthy season or not? Like that's really it, right? Like if he's healthy and plays most of the season, there's really no reason why he can't get over this total.
Well, the last time in which he missed significant amount of time, Jamie, you have to go back to 2013 in which he only played in one game. Every other year after that, he's played in at least 15 games, at least. So the track record of a guy knowing how to stay healthy and knowing how to keep himself in a position to be on the field, that's kind of been his track record. He's played in 16 games, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 seasons. I mean, he's been the epitome of health. Health has not been a concern for Travis Kelce.
It's also really interesting that if you start to look back at his career and you start to look back at this tight end position for Kansas City, they have had either, except for a stretch between 2009 and then obviously that 2013 year, that stretch going from Tony Gonzalez to Travis Kelce is the tight end version of the Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers run. Yeah. Like they had an elite tight end on their roster for the majority of this millennium. It's crazy.
A guy who just got a brand new 3-year, $42 million contract extension with the Jacksonville Jaguars, Evan Engram, the next guy up for us to discuss. The numbers on him, 640.5 on the yards, 3.5 on the touchdowns. Jamie's hit this touchdown number twice, his rookie season back in 2017 with the Giants, and then last year he caught 4 touchdowns. Yardage numbers done a little bit better, did it in his rookie year with the Giants, did it in 2020 with the Giants, and then did it last year with the Jags. With 767 yards, and he did it on only 98 targets, which is not his career high. He's got 2 seasons in which he's gotten over 100, but a career high in receptions with 73. Played in all 17 games, was healthy. That's a big thing for him because he has missed some time in the past with the Giants. And so I'll pass this one over to you, Jamie, because I'm not sure how I feel about it. He did just get a brand new contract extension, probably played the best football of his career last year. And he's in an offense that we know likes to utilize the tight end. So a lot of positives for Evan Engram. He's developing that chemistry with Trevor Lawrence. I think there's a lot to like here.
There is, but I'm staying away. And I think the other reason here is you also have a shiny new target in Jacksonville, as we've talked about a lot, in Calvin Ridley. I think these numbers are as close down the line as you can get. I have him at 671 yards and 4 touchdowns, which is really like almost exactly what this line is. Does he have the potential to do more? Sure. Trevor Lawrence targeted him last year. He's a unique catching weapon at the tight end position. We have seen the Doug Peterson offensive utilize tight ends and multiple tight ends fairly well. But I start to think now with Christian Kirk and Calvin Ridley there, and particularly both of their abilities as route runners to get open, and Travis Etienne out of the backfield, who again wasn't used as much as a pass catcher as you maybe you would have thought when he came out of college, but maybe can be used in that role alongside Tank Bigsby. I think this is too close for comfort for me. He also still has a history of like drop problems. And again, it didn't show up last year, but this is just too close to the line for me. I think this is a really well-priced line at 6. Again, only 30 yards off from what I have him. So I think this is appropriate.
All right, folks, you're going to want to pause the show. You're going to want to get yourself a nice drink. You're going to want to warm up a nice snack. You're going to want to get really, really comfortable. Grab a blanket, grab a pillow. Just make yourself nice and cozy for the next guy on the list, because we might be here for a little bit talking about Kyle Pitts, tight end for the Atlanta Falcons. Here are the numbers for Pitts from a props perspective. 700.5 on the yards, 4.5 on the touchdowns. Jamie, he's only hit this yards number once. It was his rookie season in which he had 1,026 yards. Last year in 10 games, only 356. This is literally just splitting the difference and taking an average of what he's done over the first 2 years of his career and saying that is our prop. I have nobody was a bigger Kyle Pitts fan than I. I had a bet on Kyle Pitts having a 1,000-yard season as a rookie, and I barely got there, and it won me a bet.
Did you pay up that bet? Because you still haven't paid up your bets with me.
I didn't have to pay up. See, that's what's got us in this vortex, is that I won that bet, which limited the number of boxes that needed to come my way, and there was a big, you know, moving.
All I know
is
I didn't
around.
Get my boxes.
You still haven't gotten your boxes yet. They're in the mail. They'll get there soon. Oh. He was a 1,000-yard receiver in his rookie season. Only caught one touchdown. That was the big deal. Everyone was like, oh, 1,000 yards, but only caught one touchdown. It was like, oh, it's going to be different in 2022. Well, it did get different. He got hurt.
No, it was different. It's not the way people wanted.
We've got Drake London. We've got Cordarrelle Patterson. We've got Bijan Robinson. We've got more playmakers in this offense. Jamie, I have no idea. Jonnu Smith's there as well. I have no idea what to do with Kyle Pitts.
I ain't betting Kyle Pitts. But let's do story time here about Kyle Pitts.
Story time with Kyle Pitts.
I think there's been Kyle Pitts, baby. There's been nothing I've seen in the last week that's been more emblematic of how far Kyle Pitts has fallen than this. Chris, I know you're familiar with this, but I'm going to ask you this rhetorically anyway.
Sure.
Are you familiar with the Immaculate Grid?
I am. I did it on Friday's TDN Daily, yeah.
You did. And so for those of you that are baseball fans, I'm sure you're well aware of it. But for those that are football fans, there is now a sports reference, football reference has a version of it for you now. Essentially, it is a grid game. There are 9 boxes. You have to match the left column with the right column with players that either played for both teams or match the statistical output and played for a team, blah, blah, blah. So one of the boxes was Falcons 1,000 receiving yards. Okay. I picked Kyle Pitts. And for those that are familiar with the game, you know, in the top right corner, it gives you a percentage of how many people have completed the guessed that player. And so typically when you draft in any of these, whether it's on the baseball side or the football side, when you select a active player, particularly an active player that is still on the team and has accomplished the feat fairly recently or is just still on the team, depending on what it is, it's a pretty high percentage.
It's at least 40%.
It's the noob guess. It's like everybody's like, oh, okay, this is, you went chalk.
But sometimes you need those, though, to get the momentum rolling.
But yeah, but you know what? You have to be immaculate.
Right.
You get no wrong answers for this. So you have to, there's 2 games within this game.
Right.
You have to get the right answer, but you're also trying to get the right answer with the most obscure option.
Yeah. I only play one version of the game. I just try to get all 9 right.
I do both, and then sometimes it's my downfall.
Yeah, it's...
We have a former coworker that we go back and forth every day so you can get the best score on Immaculate Grid for the baseball version. Chris, do you care to guess what the percentage was? So this was Falcons and 1,000 plus receiving yards.
We know Kyle Pitts did it.
I picked Kyle Pitts. Tell me what your answer would have been if it wasn't Pitts, what the first name that came to your mind is, and two, what you think the percentage was.
I mean, I would have gone Julio Jones probably just out of habit.
That's fair.
If it pulled up, I'd probably be like Julio because he was there forever. I try to think of players who, but Kyle Pitts probably wouldn't have been far off in my mind, right? Because I know he has a 1,000-yard season. It's probably less than 5%.
2%.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
That's how far. Yep. Kyle Pitts has fallen out of the national conversation.
He's 22 recently. Years old, by the way. I just want to remind everybody.
He is
22
a child.
Years old.
I have him projected for 824 yards and 2.6 touchdowns. So, like, a little bit over here. I'm not betting on the touchdowns. I think, honestly, I might take the under on the 4.5 touchdowns, to be quite honest with you. But I'm not betting on Kyle Pitts. I don't know. I don't freaking know. Don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I don't know. No idea.
It's an offense
that... to admit it.
It's an offense that should be conducive for him to find success. They don't have, in terms of pass catchers, they don't have a ton of people that are in his way.
Yeah, Drake London. That's it.
And
I mean, I know Bijan's going to catch passes, but like you're not they're not going to target Bijan
at a volume.
McCaffrey,
right? And Tyler Algier is not going to get those kind of targets.
There's room for Kyle Pitts, no matter where he is on the field, to be targeted. I don't know. If you told me at the end of the year Kyle Pitts has 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns, I would have been like, damn right he does. But I ain't going to bet on it.
Right. Until I see it, I'm not betting on it. Yeah, it's going to be fascinating because I think for Desmond Ridder, Kyle Pitts is probably going to be one of those safety nets. He's going to be a very important piece for them finding success.
Be.
He should be, right? But I don't know. I don't. It's just a guy only played in 10 games and had 300 passing yards. Like, it was brutal. It was awful.
You think you take a tight end in the top five that you would use them, but, you know, who am I? Whomst am I?
Eagles tight end Dallas Goedert, next guy up for us to discuss, 675.5 on the yards, 3.5 on the touchdowns. Jamie, this yardage number.
It's injury. This is injury risk. Yeah, this is injury concern, right?
He's only hit it twice, but he's hit it each of the last two seasons. And he hit it last year only playing in 12 games, which I think is an important note here. The touchdowns, he's hit three times, his rookie season, his second year in 2019, and then back in 2021. This is injury related, but Jamie, I look at this from... We've talked about how much we like A.J. Brown. We've talked about how much we love Devonta Smith. But there are only three places this ball is going to go passing-wise in this offense. A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, Dallas Goedert. That's it. And so I think there's enough of a target share here to where if Dallas Goedert stays healthy, he's going to be there.
Yeah, I have him projected for 14 games this year and 807 yards, 3.7 touchdowns.
So you have this clearing with some ease.
Yeah, and it's really, to me, it is really just about how many games you think he's going to play. I have spoken on the show before about my love for Dallas Goedert, is one of the more underrated players, not just tight ends, one of the more underrated players in the National Football League. But this is really just about how many games you think he's going to play. And to me, I think if you get a dozen or more, he's going to hit this. And I don't see a reason to believe that he's going to miss more than five games. Now, it could always happen. You could tear your ACL. In terms of just trying to use past issues to project to future issues, I don't have anything that says to me, oh, yeah, he's just going to automatically risk for missing half the season.
Tyler Higbee, tight end for the Los Angeles Rams, the next guy up for us to discuss. 500.5 on the yards, 4.5 on the touchdowns. Now, from a yards perspective, Jamie, he's done this four straight seasons on the yards.
Yeah.
Last year had 620. On the touchdowns at 4.5, he's only done it twice, 2020 and 2021. I will say the thing that stands out to me when looking at the historical context here, Jamie, is my guy had 108 targets last year, a overwhelming career high, more than 15 more than his like career high, which was 89 back in 2019. I think the takeaway that I have here, Jamie, is how much of that was Cooper Kupp being hurt and Matthew Stafford not playing quarterback for the entirety of the season. So when you bring in quarterbacks like a Baker Mayfield randomly on a Thursday night and you've got guys rotating in and out, Tyler Higbee becomes a top option for those quarterbacks. Does that translate if Matthew Stafford is healthy? I know you don't think he is, but if Matthew Stafford is healthy, does that translate with Cooper Kupp back as well? Does it mean he's going to get to 108? I'm not so sure.
I think it's more about Kupp than it is about Stafford. And I think just in terms of target share, because Kupp eats up
all of the targets.
Unbelievably ridiculous percentage of it that when you take him out of the lineup, there's room for everybody. And last year, the wide receivers that the Rams were throwing out toward the end of the season was bad. So, like, with Tutu Atwell was getting significant playing time. So, I think Higbee's going to be back down into somewhere in the 80s.
Yeah, he's done that twice, 85 in 2021, and then that year in which he had 89 targets.
Yeah, I have him at 82.5 here. I have him at 587 yards and 3.1 touchdowns. So I still think the yards is fairly low. It's not low enough that I'm going to bet on it here because, again, I do think even with – no matter who the quarterback is, I think Kupp is going to steal – just the offense is catered to get Kupp in space and opening the ball in his hands. And, by the way, given the other pieces on an offense, why wouldn't it be? That's your best chance for success. But to me, I think that was the biggest thing. And I'm glad you pointed out that I do not see another 100 target year in his future. And quite frankly, neither does Vegas, because they wouldn't have set his total at 500.5 for yards if they did. I still think he can get over this, but I'm not confident enough on either one of these. And honestly, I kind of like the under. I don't see him getting 5 or 6 touchdowns, but probably stay away from me.
Jamie, there is one side of a prop for the next guy that I really like.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you exactly what it is yet. I'm going to see if you can figure it out based on the way that I set this up. Darren Waller for the New York Giants, our next tight end to discuss. 700.5 on the yards, 4.5 on the touchdowns. He has only hit the touchdown number once. He's hit it in 2020, in which he had 9 touchdowns. He also had 145 targets that year. Just want to make sure that gets known to everybody. The yards number, the 700.5, he's only done that twice. He did it in 2019 and 2020, his two big years down there in Vegas with Derek Carr and the Raiders, in which he was a 1,000-yard receiver each of the last two seasons, or each of those two seasons there in Vegas. Injuries derailed in the last couple of years, 11 games in 2021 and then 9 in 2022, and now he's joining Daniel Jones and the New York Giants.
So for those who listen to the tight end show, when we did fantasy, you'll know I'm a little lower on Darren Waller than the consensus. I have him going slightly under on both of these, and I think it's all about injuries. I am at 600 yards and 4 touchdowns, and I've projected to play 13 games. I like the fit of a player and a skill set to an offense in Darren Waller in New York. I think the way you look at the way Brian Daboll schemed up, some really exciting tight end touches that we saw Daniel Bellinger get a little bit of last year before we had that weird eye injury that they missed a significant amount of time. My concern is that Darren Waller is never healthy. And now he's playing on that MetLife turf. He's going to be playing in a much colder environment.
Please don't bring on the MetLife turf. Don't already start. I don't need to hear this already.
I'm just saying, there's a lot of things that scare me about his injury history. I understand, Chris, if you want to like to bet on this, if they're going to scheme up red zone targets for him, so maybe you like the touchdowns here. I just don't have the confidence that he's going to stay healthy long enough to hit these totals. So that's a stay away from me.
Jamie, this should be obvious for you on the side that I'm on. The numbers were
You're never on the touchdowns, but
this should be obvious. I'm on the under on the yards at 700.5.
Ooh,
the last time Darren Waller was relevant enough to put up close to these numbers was 3 years ago in 2020. I'm very consistent in my approach here. The last time Darren Waller was healthy enough and consistent enough to put up the kind of numbers that put him in the mix for this for these props, he had 145 targets. He had 117 targets in 2019. He had 93 targets in 2021 and only played in 11 games, only had 665 yards. I'm sorry, I do not think all of a sudden, even though they paid him $40 million, that the Giants offense is going to all of a sudden find 145 targets or 117 targets for Darren Waller. It's not going to happen. Are they going to scheme up red zone targets for him? Sure. Is he going to be one of the top options passing the ball in this offense? Sure, 100%. But they are still going to run the ball. I don't expect Saquon Barkley, for as much as he says he's going to, I don't expect Saquon Barkley to sit out the entirety of the season. He might sit out a game, maybe sits out two, but he's not sitting out the entirety of the season. So when Saquon Barkley is back, guess what they're going to do a lot of? They're going to do a lot of running the ball with Saquon Barkley, and they're going to do a lot of running the ball with Daniel Jones. There's not a ton of passing volume to go around in this offense. And I'm sorry, Darren Waller, if he needs 145 targets to get to these numbers, it's not getting there. So I'm out on this. And on top of that, I didn't even mention in that entire analysis, guys played in 20 games the last two seasons.
That's the issue.
It adds up to a math equation that I can't see how it gets to 700.5. I just can't get there. Can't get there.
It's not a talent issue. It's an availability issue.
Right. Mark Andrews. An availability issue and it's a scheme issue, right? I just don't think all of a sudden they're going to open up this offense entirely.
The offense,
fits what they want to do, but just not at a high enough volume to hit this number, I think.
Correct.
Mark Andrews, the next guy up for us to discuss in his brand new Todd Monken offense. His props for the 2023 season are as follows: 875.5 on the yards, 6.5 on the touchdowns. If we look at this 875 number, Jamie, he's only hit it once back in 2021, in which he was a 1,300-yard wide receiver. When you look at the touchdowns at 6.5, he's done this pretty regularly. He did it in 2019, he did it in 2020, and he did it in 2021. Look, I don't think the I like this touchdown number, Jamie, because I don't know if there's a guy currently, as we sit here on July, whatever day the show is supposed to come out, because we're recording 24th. It ahead of time, like always. I don't know if there's a guy that I immediately think is a favorite to get more targets down in the red zone for touchdowns over Mark Andrews. I like Rashad Bateman. I like Zay Flowers. I think Odell can be helpful. But until I see that group together, this is still Mark Andrews' pass catching offense.
Yeah, I think these are pretty solid, but I do have them going over on both. I have him at 1,035 yards and 8 touchdowns. I know people are somewhat projecting him to have his target numbers get hurt a little bit because of the additional pass catching weapons, but I think that's completely offset by the fact they're going to throw a lot more. I still have Mark Andrews as an 125 target guy, and I think he's going to get a lot of work in this offense. This is really just, I don't know. I would say this is Lamar Jackson based, right?
Right.
Like this is the Lamar Jackson based equation. If you think he's going to play for most of the season in this more pass heavy offense, I see no reason why Andrews can't go over this total. I think that's really the only thing you're concerned about is does Lamar Jackson miss a significant period of time? But I fully expect Andrews to be a 1,000-yard receiver. I fully expect him to go over both of these totals. I like the yards a little bit more than the touchdowns, just because, you know, I feel like touchdowns are a little bit more unpredictable. But I think they're baking in a little bit of Lamar is going to miss some time, so we're going to lower these yardage totals. But I really think this offense is going to throw a lot more than people think.
Yeah,
lot more.
I agree.
I don't care if they signed Melvin Gordon. Doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah, that doesn't really change my feelings on that whatsoever. Dawson Knox, Buffalo Bills tight end, next guy up for us to discuss. 425.5 on the yards, 4.5 on the touchdowns. He's hit this yards number each of the last two seasons, Jamie. He's been over 500 each of the last 2 years, and he's hit the touchdowns each of the last 2 years.
Yeah.
9 in 2021, 6 in 2022. These numbers being lower than what he's done each of the last two seasons, I think, is a combination of Dalton Kincaid being in the room.
Yep.
And what the heck is this Bills offense really going to look like?
And I think it's mostly Dalton Kincaid insurance. I'm not betting on this, but I wanted to throw this out here. I'm at 516 yards and 6.7 touchdowns. I still expect him to be used in the red zone. I still expect him to get some work. And I honestly, at the end of the year, do not think Dawson Knox's numbers are going to look very different from Dalton Kincaid's numbers. And I think that's probably a hot take based on the way people talk about him. But, you know, it's July, so every rookie is going to be awesome and great, and they're never going to be bad.
No, it can't be bad.
Again, I like both of these overs, but I'm going to level with you. Don't bet on this. I don't know how they're going to use their tight ends. I don't know how they're going to play their system. Chris has the numbers about 12 personnel with them, but they're going to run a completely different system with both these guys. I have no idea.
Right. Well, they And just to reiterate what I've said before, it was a first down statistic. They ran 12 personnel like one of the least amount of times in the National Football League. And if they're going to try to get them both on the field, it's going to be in 12 personnel. And so for me, going to a place where they have not gone on a regular basis is something that I got to see be implemented first before I'm willing to buy into this idea that it's going to work. Jamie, everything's great in theory, right? We talk about this all the time when talking about putting a player on a certain team. Everything's great in theory. And in theory, having Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid on the field at the same time should reap rewards for this Buffalo Bills offense. But it's a totally new formation. And I think to be successful in 12 personnel, I will say this until I'm blue in the face. They've got to be able to run the ball effectively outside of Josh Allen. And I just don't know if they're going to be able to do that effectively enough to warrant being into 12 personnel and finding success passing the football. I just don't know. I'm very skeptical of what this is going to look like in 2023. So, yes, I'm with you. Don't bet on this. George Kittle, San Francisco 49ers tight end. 725.5 on the yards, 5.5 on the touchdowns. Jamie, he's done this a lot in his career. He did it in 2018. He did it in 2019. He did it in 2021. Oh, and by the way, he did it last year with 765 yards. When it comes to the touchdowns at 5.5, he did it last year, and he did it in 2021.
Yeah, this is about health,
but his quarterback. Let me spin the wheel behind of who's the starting quarterback this week for the San Francisco 49ers.
Okay.
That's what it's going to be on a weekly basis for the San Francisco 49ers this year.
So there's a lot going on here. You have George Kittle's injury history. You have the Brock Purdy injury. You have the Trey Lance versus Sam. You have a lot of variables in this equation. I have Kittle down for 15 games, 802 yards, and 8 touchdowns. So I actually really like the touchdown prop here at 5.5, because I think he's going to be a touchdown hog even when he gets on the field for whomever is the quarterback in this offense. And Obviously, he had 11 last year. I think that asking for double digits again is a lot. But I do think he has the ability to get a half dozen pretty easily, even if he misses 4 or 5 games. So I like that one more. The yardage is about right because, again, I don't think he's going to play a full season and it's a run-heavy team. But to me, when this team gets in the red zone, I don't care who the quarterback is. I think George Kittle is going to be a guy that gets, when he's on the field, is going to get a lot of targets. And there's an absolute mismatch in an offense that is, I mean, it's tough to, like, that, those Niners teams in the red zone, you have to deal with McCaffrey and Debo and Kittle. And good luck. Yeah, Brandon Ayuk as good well. Luck. That is a lot of pieces. Oh, and then when you forget about all those guys, just juice check randomly getting wide open in the flats to score. Like, it's a lot of random stuff that happens. Like, that's a tough team to defend in the red zone.
With a really innovative offensive coach who finds way to scheme guys open. Like, it's just, it's a nightmare.
But Kittle gets his fair share as well and is the best option there. So I like, actually, this is one of the ones that probably I might consider taking in our draft for the over on 5.5 touchdowns.
Dave Njoku, next player up, as we got two more tight ends to discuss. No touchdowns for David here on the prop, but 550.5 on the yards. He's done this twice in his career. Did it last year and did it back in 2018. Look, Jamie, you know how I feel about this. You know how I feel about this Cleveland offense. There's not a lot outside of maybe like Nick Chubb that I'm betting on here in 2023. I'm in a wait and see a mode, but I'll let you share your thoughts on this prop.
Yeah, I like the over. I have him going a little over 700 yards. And I understand their hesitancy here, and it might be a little bit about Deshaun, but I think it's probably more about, you know, you have Cooper, you have Elijah Moore, who we have rave reviews. You have Donovan Peoples-Jones. You have some different options that are viable inside of this offense. But the last couple of years, David Njoku has shown that he is – it took a bit, but he broke out. And it showed that he's a guy, and he gets a lot of targets. And he's converted a lot of them as well. So – I think he can get to 700 yards even with the additional pieces in this offense. And I was a David Njoku non-believer for a while. And even in that first year he broke out a couple years ago, I'm like, let's wait and see. He made a believer out of me last year in the way that he gets open, the way he converts his catches, and the way that he brought in targets from both Jacoby Brissett and Deshaun Watson. So, again, I'm not running, doing cartwheels, doing moonsaults to the podium.
Did we do cartwheels at all on the show today?
No, I don't think we've had any cartwheels.
Wow. No cartwheels.
Kind of emblematic of this tight end position.
Like, fair, but no cartwheels, no sprinting. We didn't even sprint.
No sprinting. But I like it. I'm in like with it. I'm in like with the over on the yards here. Because I think, you know, again, I have Njoku only playing 15 games. But even in, you know, 550, let's pretend it's 17 games. That's 32.38 yards per game. And for him, that's like 2 catches.
Right.
So.
The last guy up for us to discuss here, Jamie. A guy that does not have your yards number, but has a touchdown number. You hit me with a little bit of a wild card here to close the show.
Yeah, a random one. That being, I'm surprised he doesn't have a yard number, by the way.
Me too. TJ Hockenson, tight end for the Minnesota Vikings. Like I said, no yards number, but 5.5 on the touchdowns. Jamie's only hit this twice. He hit it in 2020 and then hit it last year across his time with both Detroit and Minnesota. Listen, we don't bet on touchdown props here very often on the show. I think I'd take the over on this.
Yeah, I would too. Again, this is another one I'm in like with. One, I am at 6.73 is my projection for him. And I do think it's going to matter because obviously Justin Jefferson is a monstar. But as I've brought up on the show, a monstar.
Wow.
But as I've brought up on the show before, Adam Thielen was a really strong red zone weapon for the Vikings. And he's not there anymore. So that's going to open up some other opportunities for other guys to make a big impact. And particularly if you believe, like I believe, that Alexander Mattison won't be quite as effective as Dalvin Cook was running the ball, there's room for somebody other than Justin Jefferson to be a red zone monster. And I think that guy could be TJ Hockenson, even though that's not typically been the role he's been used at. I think that's something he can be really successful with as a mismatch option when teams are doubling or focusing heavily on Justin Jefferson when they get inside the 20. I can see TJ Hockenson being a guy that can get you a touchdown every other game or so. Again, not running, not doing cartwheels, but I like this. And I would, if you told me at the end of the year he had 9 or 10 touchdowns, I wouldn't be shocked. I really would.
That's it. Tight end props in the books. We've got a news and note show for you tomorrow. And then we're back into the prop scene with quarterback interception props for you. We'll do that over 2 days and then takes on takes to close out the week. So that is the schedule for the remainder of the week. While you're waiting for the next episode to drop of the podcast, please rate, review, subscribe, share the show. We greatly do appreciate it. Check out the video version of the show over on the YouTube side of things, the Draft Network on YouTube. Interact with all the content over there. You can follow me on Twitter @ChrisSchubert_. You can follow Jamie on Twitter at Jamie.
Easy for
Eisner.
You to say.
I know the outro of the show, the most difficult
getting
part.
All choked up. You're sad that we're leaving the end of the show.
You can follow Jamie on Twitter at Jamie Eisner. Still trying to get him on Threads. It is still an unsuccessful proposition at this moment in time, but we're working on it. We'll see what we can get done here. That's going to do it for us here on this edition of the show. Hope you all have a good one. We'll talk with you all tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.